Welcome to the Become Nomad podcast, the podcast that allows you to live a nomadic lifestyle in a balanced, happy, and satisfying way. It's been a long time. I actually forgot our introduction. I have it written somewhere, so we'll get to it. But you know why you're here. A few updates on my side. I'm currently in Bogota. It's a huge city, about 8 million people, and I think about 100 million cars, it seems like. I'm not going to stay here long. I just came for a convention, a business convention. And I noticed that the older you get, the more conventions you go to, which is a little bit sad. I'm probably going to go on this weekend to somewhere quieter. But the city, nevertheless, Bogota, is pretty cool. Probably one of my favorite cities in Colombia. The last time we did an episode, I think I was in Ipiales in the south of Colombia, in the middle of my week of this connection. The plan was to actually go across three countries. It didn't really work out. I'm too old for that. So I just stayed in one city called Pasto in the Nariño province in Colombia and did lots of treks, lagunas, and it was pretty fun. After that, I actually stayed in Pasto for 1 month more, did some co-working, a really cool city, Pasto, in the south of Colombia. Also spent some time in Cali, the capital salsa of the world, another recommended city. Did a quick jump to Ecuador, where I went to actually renew the visa. So for those of you who are also already living the lifestyle, you already know the term visa runs. And the idea over here is that when you're reaching the end of your visa period, you go out of the country and go back again and then receive another period. In Colombia, you can actually stay 6 months, but you have to leave after 3 months and come back. In other countries, let's say the European Union, for example, this trick will not work and you actually have to leave for 3 months after you've stayed in the European Union for 3 months. That's the only way to do it. So visa rules are changing from country to country. So pretty cool. Today's episode is going to be a little bit of an economic lesson, I guess. Might be boring for some of you, but nevertheless, a very important phenomenon called the cost arbitrage that we're going to go over. If you're thinking about doing this digital nomad lifestyle, you should be aware of it. And we're going to dive deep and try to analyze exactly what it means. Hope you enjoy. So today's episode is the cost arbitrage and hacking life for digital nomads and remote workers. So the cost arbitrage for digital nomads is one of the strongest engines and actually wonders and benefits of the nomadic lifestyle. Now, what it basically means is that you're living in countries that are low cost while you're working for clients from the developed world. And that creates a situation that you're receiving a Western salary in a place that is a lot cheaper than what you would experience at home. Some of the countries are actually 20% or maybe even 80 or 70% cheaper than the Western world. Two countries that come to mind, Ukraine, which is extremely cheap, and actually also South America, including Colombia, where I am now. So the idea, again, work for rich clients in developed countries and live in low-cost countries. Now, it should be said that this phenomenon of the cost arbitrage also exists within the country itself. I don't need to tell you, if you basically work for clients in a high-profile city like San Francisco while living in, let's say, Alabama, you're going to be very well off because the cost of life there are going to be a lot cheaper than San Francisco. And the idea is that even if you're not willing to take the jump to become a global trotter digital nomad, you can still enjoy this arbitrage if you pick the right city. Now, a quick check of the trending digital nomad hubs around the world shows that, unsurprisingly, a lot of the hubs that we mentioned in the prior episodes are exactly those low-cost cities that allow you to basically enjoy this cost arbitrage. Some places that jump into mind on the cost arbitrage are actually Medellin in Colombia that we mentioned, Budapest, Prague, Krakow in Europe, and of course, cherished the capital of digital nomads, Chiang Mai in Thailand. Now, it should be said that those locations became popular not just because they're cheap. There are a lot of cheap locations around the world where you can actually spend virtually no money. However, those locations are good because they provide value. And I think it's worthwhile to discuss the idea of value over here. Value means that you don't only focus on how much you spend, but you also focus on what exactly are you receiving, which is very important. And I recommend this mindset. A few years ago, I was only focusing on how much money I'm spending. And now I'm also thinking a lot about the quality of life that I'm receiving. Now, connecting to value and quality of life, I actually noticed a very interesting phenomenon. The phenomenon is as following. I keep on changing locations and I'm staying in places that vary in costs significantly. The idea over here is that when I'm checking how much money I spend during the month, I see that I always more or less spend the same. It doesn't matter if I'm in a very low-cost location or a very expensive location. I did this check, for example, recently when I was in Pasto in Colombia, a very cheap location, and the good one, as I mentioned before. And I compared it to the life cost I had in London a few years ago. And I noticed that I spent relatively the same, maybe 20% less. When I did a test on Expatistan, it's a site that basically allows you to compare cost of life in two cities, London was about 3 or 4 times more expensive than Pasto. So a quick look into what happened and how can it be showed me that actually I don't change so much my budget between locations, but the quality of life. So for example, in London, I stayed in a 16-bedroom dorm. I never took a taxi. I was even walking a lot to avoid the underground travels and could never think about going to a restaurant. Of course not. I always cooked or went to fast foods, chicken place in the period. I was not vegetarian yet. And in Pasto, I'm going to restaurants about 4 times a day, getting a little bit fat, taking about 2 or 3 taxis a day, and I have my own private room. So the idea is that what I discovered is that we're driven by instincts that basically put us on the fence when we're in a very expensive location like London, and also on the other side, push us into crazy splurging when we're in a cheap location because everything is so cheap and we have to consume it. So you also have to be aware of that. It's not really that you're going to save the exact amount that you think you're going to save if you're in a low-cost location. Now, how do you know which are the best countries and cities supplying high value for low cost? A good place to start, Become Nomad, go to the list of the Digital Nomad recommended trending locations. It's on there on the top of the page. But the rule of thumb is basically, as I mentioned before, focus on value, not only on how cheap the country is. And that means you want to avoid any country that is in a total mess. Those countries tend to be extremely cheap. For example, Syria or Venezuela come to mind in 2017. So it's not only that life cost is cheap, it's that life itself is cheap as well. So definitely avoid places that put you in risk. You also want to avoid some places that are cheap but don't have the infrastructure for you to work as a remote worker or a digital nomad. And that usually means slow internet. If your internet is unstable, it's going to greatly affect your revenue. And that means that what you're saving on the cost of living there will not be worthwhile. Some places that jump into mind on being extremely cheap, but not having good internet infrastructure, which means that you probably have to avoid it as a digital nomad, are most of the locations in Africa and India, for example. Now, there are other factors that you want to take into account when you're picking a location. We talked about this in one of the articles on how to pick your next travel destination. I'll just remind you of a few that I usually follow. One is it must have a co-working space. Again, this affects the revenue side of the equation, so I don't want to save money over here. And also for me, it's important that the place is not polluted. By the way, South America has a huge pollution problem in the cities. The regulation and the environment care within the cities is not good. And that means that when you walk in the street, you just breathe smoke a lot of the time. It's not Europe, but they're getting there. As I mentioned before, there is a site called Ex-Pakistan, which is actually run by a friend of mine who lives in Prague, a very cool dude. And this site allows you to basically feed two cities and see a very nice comparison in the cost of life. So if you're checking cities and you're debating between cities, this is actually a great resource to use. Now, moving on to a more economic subject, and I have to, I'm an economist, so bear with me. One of the things that are the most important for the cost of life analysis is basically currency fluctuations. The idea over here is pretty simple. You want to stay in a place where the local currency got massively hit recently. For example, in 2008, the hryvnia, which is Ukraine's currency, was 1 to 8 with a dollar. For $1, you would receive 8 hryvnias. Now, in 2017, you're receiving 27 or over 27. This is a very big jump. It made Ukraine, which wasn't expensive to begin with in a few years ago, an extremely cheap location that you can live comfortably, you know, on a very low budget. And the idea is that as you travel, you probably want to check the currency. What happened to the currency in compared with your currency in the last few years? However, you should also be a little bit careful. Some currency fluctuations are done because of very, very bad things that happen to the country, including, by the way, inflation, which will totally make the country expensive even if the local currency gets slammed. So you always have to check in advance. There are many countries that suffered wars and so on and that are not safe, that had currency fluctuations. Some countries that come to mind is Iran, Turkey, and of course Syria and Venezuela. So those countries, although the local currency got totally slashed, you want to avoid. Other countries had a more, let's say, healthy fix to their local currency, which made them a lot cheaper, and that doesn't mean that you can't travel there. Some examples that come into mind are Colombia, where I am now, Russia, and even the Ukraine. Although it has its political situation, it's still very safe to travel. So those countries are definitely recommended. There is also the example of more developed countries that got their currency weakened recently, which makes them more attractive to travel. The Eurozone comes into play, and of course the UK. So the idea is that you always want to check basically what happened to the currency lately if you're planning to stay for a while, because this is a really good indication that the place became of highest value. Now let's move on to the advantages of the cost arbitrage. They're pretty obvious, but I'll just go over them anyway. The first advantage is the one that you're gonna like the most. You live like the rich and famous. So we already mentioned it. If you're working for Western clients and you live in a low-cost country, you can really increase the quality of your life. If you don't understand that, just go to the Ukraine, have a full dinner in a posh sushi restaurant that will cost you $4, and then take a comfortable 12-hour train where you have your own bed and everything across the country for 10 euros, and you'll probably understand there. So you can really have crazy quality of life if you take advantage of this arbitrage. The next advantage is learning new skills. So low-cost locations and cities allow more than just comfort. The wages are extremely low, and that means that if you're interested in learning a new skill, that's the best time to do it. By new skill, I mean learning a new language or taking private salsa lessons at the fifth of the price they would cost you in the US. For example, in Colombia, I had private salsa lessons for $7 an hour with a private teacher in a really nice dancing school. So many, many things that you can do that you can't do in other places. In Peru, I studied mechanics. I had my own private teacher for mechanics. I think it was $3 an hour. And I did skiing lessons in Bosnia that were extremely cheap in comparison to other locations. I did private Russian lessons in Belarus. So the idea is that if you're not lazy, the low-cost country can actually push you into learning skills and improving yourself. And while doing that, helping the local population as well, employing them, giving them jobs, it's a win-win situation for both sides. And by the way, I just remember now, the word arbitrage is something that closes at some point. So it never stays the same. The idea is to take advantage of it while it exists. And as you're actually taking advantage of it, you're closing it. Because if everyone would do that, there would be no more arbitrage. So the idea over here is it's actually a win-win situation that you're pushing a location into a more successful situation. It's not only about you, but also spending money in those locations that need the money has some really nice positive impact on the place as well. One more thing that the cost arbitrage allows you is to save money. So while working online from low-cost country, your revenue will exceed your expenses, unless you go crazy like I did in Pasta and spend a lot of money. The idea over here is that it actually allows you to save money and save a lot of money for the future. Usually most people working in developed countries cannot really save money because the expenses are so high. The idea over here is to remain more or less with the same salary and spend a lot less and save money. Saving money is good. One more benefit would be that you can actually have your startup or finally go independent. So for those of you who aspire to become nomadic entrepreneurs, and we have an article on the subject, living in low-cost location makes a lot of sense. The idea over here is that startups take a lot of time to generate profit. If you're actually living in a low-cost country, you have more oxygen. A lot of people are becoming independent, either freelancers or startup owners, and ditch it because they don't have the money to continue. Living in a low-cost country while working on your startup or while starting your own freelance business will give you a lot more oxygen and a lot less pressure. On the later stages, when you work on your business, one more advantage of the low-cost countries is that it will allow you to scale your business, because then you can actually hire amazing people with great talent that are not paid that much in comparison to other countries. So the idea is it's not only good for the first stage as you hit profitability, but it also allows you to scale your operations and hire amazing people from the low-cost countries, making you have an unfair advantage on your competition from the developed countries. Now let's move on to the disadvantages of this cost arbitrage, because not everything is perfect in the world, and so is hacking life costs. So especially since the basic situation here is leaving the advantages of the developed world and switching countries to countries that are developing. So it should bring a few interesting problems, and we're going to discuss them as well. The first issue is that there is a limit to your success when you get away from the center. So the idea over here is that if you're staying in a low-cost country, it's usually also a low-profile place. It's pretty good if you just want to spend life living comfortably and so on and so on. But if you're interested in creating the world's next Uber or become super famous like Tim Ferriss, it will be extremely hard to do so from Albania or Paraguay. Building a massively successful business or an established personal brand requires you to stay in the center of the world. And you know which cities I'm talking about: San Francisco, New York, London, and so on and so on. The minute you get away, you have a lot less opportunities of networking, of meeting great people, and actually generating something that is amazing, investors and so on, meeting even clients and so on. So the idea over here is that you're giving up on something when you go a little bit to the fringe. And by the way, this is exactly why those cities are expensive. Cities like San Francisco and London are expensive because they're surrounded by successful people. Do you really want to go away from a place which has successful people to a place that is only developing? Depends on what you do and your aspirations in life. Now, one more disadvantage of going to those low-cost locations is health risks. So lower-cost countries usually have worse health infrastructure than the developed countries. And also the doctor quality is not going to be as high. This is because the education system is not as good, the infrastructure is not as good, and the good doctors are actually going to the developed countries to make good salary there. So you should take this into account, that if you're not in a healthy situation, staying in a low-cost country will not make a lot of sense. And that means that if you're going to have an emergency with your health, you're much better off staying in your own country than staying in a low-cost country. But in most cases, things work out in the end. Now, I have to say that for less urgent procedures, let's say dental work and so on and so on, it actually makes a lot of sense to go to a low-cost countries and do all those procedures there if the quality is good enough. East European countries, for example, have dental tourism, where people are going there to places like Croatia, enjoying the sea, and also fixing their teeth in a period of a month, and that's going to be a lot cheaper than in other location in good quality. So the health situation is also, I'm only talking about emergencies and serious situations, and of course it differs from country to country. One more disadvantage to hacking life cost is culture and crime. Developing countries usually have a much higher crime rate than developed countries, and this is due to poverty and lack of resources. That means that staying long term will actually require you to be a little bit more safe and take things a little bit more carefully. We have an article of the risks of traveling, and there are some risks that exist in some countries that don't exist in other, and crime is one of them. On the culture side, some things that will happen in developing countries can be quite frustrating. And especially if you're the frustrated type of a guy or a girl. For example, the pollution that I mentioned before, when you walk in the street and you actually breathe the fumes of the cars, the destruction of nature due to lack of regulation, lots of homeless people in the street because governments are not taking care of them, a lot of alcoholism in some countries that you can see, and also zero respect to you as you're trying to cross the street as a pedestrian. All those things happen a lot more in developing countries than developed countries, and you should take it into account. One other big disadvantage of staying in developing countries is education. And this is especially or uniquely relevant for those of you who have kids. Staying in a place that is a developing city or country will probably mean that if you don't send your child to a posh international school, they're going to receive low level of education. And this is something you should be aware of, because of course, as parents, you all want your kids to have the best start possible to life. So education is a little bit of an issue in those countries. One other advantage that is a little bit more psychological, but nevertheless existent, is the fear of change and lack of ambitions. And over here, we're talking about your own psychology. So low-cost countries can actually be addictive, as it is a lot harder to decrease the quality of your life than increasing it. It's very hard to receive perks, but when someone takes it away, we as humans are shocked by it. So the idea over here is that once you get used to the good life in the low-cost countries and living in a high quality of life, it will probably be very difficult for you to get back to living in the developed countries, because this will require you to decrease the quality of your life. That means that one day when you actually want to go back, you might find it very difficult to do so because of the fear to reduce the quality of your life. On the other end, the low-cost countries will also give you, if you're not careful, an illusion that all you need in life is just $1,000 of monthly revenue to live well. And that makes you a little bit numb and lazy, because you're saying, okay, I don't really have to aspire and work a lot more because you have everything that is needed. And then, of course, as always, life hits you in the face by either making you go back to your country or increasing the cost where you stay. For example, currency fluctuation can go both ways, and a place that is extremely cheap now can be a lot more expensive later. A good example would be Brazil, that actually fluctuate between being extremely expensive and extremely cheap. So the idea over here is that once you get addicted to this low income is enough to sustain a high quality of life, it might be very problematic. Now, this risk is dependent only on your psychology. You can make it vanish by having the right mindset, but you should be aware of it. And the right mindset, by the way, is work as much as you can, save money, and always grow as a person and in your potential revenue, so you can have the freedom to live wherever you want. And this is what the nomadic lifestyle is all about: flexibility, freedom, and abundance. So you should never stop pushing to achieve those goals. Now, the last disadvantage is something that we already talked about, is that you're not really going to save all the money that you think you will. So the idea is, again, that once you get to a really low-cost country, everything looks so cheap that you're going to splurge like crazy. And also, other than that, I have to say that it's not really that easy to live like a local with a local life cost, because there is a premium that you're always going to pay for not having the information and for being a tourist. So you should take into account that although those countries are extremely cheap, some things are going to happen that are going to be based on your lack of information that are actually going to cost you a lot of money. So to conclude this economic article, I hope a lot of you stay to the end, although it can be a little bit boring. I'll just say that this cost arbitrage is real. It's real, it's there, it's worthwhile to take advantage of it. For me, it doesn't make sense not to take advantage of it. There are amazing possibilities all over the planet for living comfortably and in a low budget. However, you should not get addicted to it as well, and make sure that you keep on progressing with your life and your potential revenue, not to be stuck. So the idea, again, enjoy it, don't get addicted to it. Might be relevant to anything else in life. And that's basically it for today. I hope that was a good learning experience for all of us, and hopefully very soon we're going to have more podcasts. Let's not disappear for a long time. And that's it. Have a good one. Bye-bye.